พระเจ้าทุกแห่งFather, it is so wonderful to be able to stand as victors even when the seas are raging about us and the circumstances are beyond our control. We can stand as victors on the tops of those awesome waves.That threaten to bury our lives and to snatch our souls. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's only because of your footsteps that we can follow out into that treacherous place and stand with confidence, the full assurance.But even though the world recognizes it as water, to us it's the rock. We submit ourselves to you this morning, asking that you would speak, that you would help us to open up those dark places of our lives.To allow the light of your word, the glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, to shine in that darkness and set us free. Your word promised us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Help us to know that truth this morning, that once againYour word can triumph in each of our lives. This is our prayer. You are our God. And we place our faith and our trust in you because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.I want to speak to you this morning about a reality we are often faced with, but will only experience once. That reality is death. It's been said that we are all experts in the matter of our own death.And I believe if we were to take a poll this morning, we would find that by and large, the majority of us would choose to die in our sleep. Right? I heard a funny story about that. Two individuals were talking to each other. The one commented, "When it's time for me to go,I want to go peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, rather than screaming and in terror like the passengers of the bus he was driving." We want to go peacefully in our sleep. We have this idea that dying in our sleep means that we go to sleep in this life,And we wake up in glory. Who says? Who says that's the way it is? Where are the experts? All those individuals that have died peacefully in their sleep. Have they come back to tell us?That is a form of losing consciousness in one realm and gaining consciousness in another. It's been revealed by some who have gone to the brink and come back that time slows down, so much so that a second seems like hours. But how do we know? Settle your mind on it. We can't. We won't until it's our time. Then we will become experts in this matter of death. All that we can know for sure is that there is a time for us to die. King Solomon wrote, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep, a time to rejoice, a time to mourn." And then in verse 11 of that passage of scripture from Ecclesiastes 3, he makes this statement. He, speaking of God, has made everything beautiful in its time. So regardless of the fears that we might be experiencing concerning our own death, we can have an assurance from God that when it is His time for us to go, it can be a beautiful thing, because He says He has made everything, including death, beautiful in its time. So I want to speak to you this morning about what we can do in order for that time to be beautiful, in order for that time to have the greatest impact, both personally and on those around us. I want to speak to you about grace. Grace for living, grace for dying. Consider with me grace for living. Most of the time, when we think of grace, if we think of it at all, it's in the context of our salvation. We think of it that way because one of the most popular hymns of Western Christianity is Amazing Grace. For those that are more knowledgeable about spiritual things, grace is in the context of our salvation because of what Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus almost 2,000 years ago. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For by grace we are saved through faith." But beloved people, there is more to grace than a moving hymn or the entrance part of our salvation. The Bible speaks about the tenses of our salvation. In fact, that verse that we just read says, "For we have been saved, you have been saved," past tense. And the tense of that in the Greek is a point in time. It's looking to that experience when you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and allowed Him to come into your life and cleanse you from your sins and set up His kingdom throne in your heart. That's what that verse is referring to. "For we have been saved," point in time in the past. The entrance point. But there's also scriptures that say we are being saved. It's in the continuous action. That's talking about our present experience here on earth. We are being saved. But there's also scriptures that talk about the fact that we will be saved. There's the future tense of our salvation. And those scriptures are referring to that time in the future when we step into the reality of the kingdom of God called heaven. Past, present, future. Grace is involved in all of it. And since our salvation is a continuous gift, it stands to reason that grace should be continuous also. And indeed it is, because we are instructed in the New Testament to grow in grace. We are instructed to speak with grace. We are instructed to minister grace. And we are admonished to see to it that no one misses grace. There are over 100 references to grace in the New Testament alone. Yet other than being a theological term, do you know what grace is? Do you remember what it means? Back when we were doing a series on grace, we came to the realization that grace is the power that comes from God that enables me to do the will of God. The power that comes from God that enables me to do the will of God. It is grace that gives us the power that we need in order to live the will of God. Do you understand? The will of God for our lives is that we bring glory to Him. The will of God for our lives is that we bring glory to Him through all that we say and do, including our dying. Grace for living. Consider with me grace for dying. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Do you think that whatever includes your dying, your thoughts about your own death? Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." Here in that verse, grace is coupled with the glory of God. And there's a song that beautifully underscores that point. He giveth more grace. The first line of that hymn says, "He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater." I think you would be in agreement with me that dying is a great burden. And that word, the words of that hymn go on to speak of the fact that His grace has no measure. In effect, all that we need, He will supply. Isn't that an awesome thought? You cannot have a greater need for grace than God has the ability to supply. God's goal for us to exemplify what Paul preached. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. The grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. Over and over, the Apostle Paul is pointing out that he is who he is and what he is, not because of anything in himself, but because of God's grace. Now, most of the time when we think about ourselves or we think about another individual, we say that individual is what he is because of the choices that they made. Right? They're in that dilemma because of the choices that they made. They become rich in the stock market because of the choices that they made. And we have a lot of individuals in our society who are either self-made men, self-made women, or who are living on the other side of that spectrum because of the choices that they made. And yet here's the Apostle Paul saying, "I am what I am by the grace of God." So we are here this morning in order for God to speak to us about our need for His grace. Whether at the entrance point of our salvation, or at the point of our daily living today, or in our dying. Do you remember the account in the Gospel of Jesus' conversation with Peter? Remember that Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, and then Jesus was crucified. He was buried. 3 days passed and He's resurrected. And the disciples are astounded at that fact. And Jesus makes Himself known to them on several different occasions. And finally they get used to the fact that Jesus really is alive. And in one particular instance, they're out in the boat fishing. And they look toward shore as dawn breaks. And there's a figure on the shore cooking over an open fire. And while they're trying to determine who it is, Peter figures out that it's Jesus. And he jumps overboard and he swims to the shore. And when the rest of the disciples get there, they have breakfast with Jesus on the shore of that lake. After breakfast, Jesus and Peter go for a little walk along the bank. And they begin to converse with each other. And Jesus begins to question Peter about His love. Remember that? 3 different times Jesus asked the question. 3 different times Peter came back trying to assure Jesus that He loved him. At the conclusion of that conversation, Jesus said these words to Peter. Listen carefully. John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. He says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then He said to him, follow Me. Jesus said those things to Peter, indicating the kind of death that Peter would glorify God. Now, oftentimes when we think of a death that glorifies God, we think of a death that is the result of martyrdom. And we look at Peter and we say, well, that substantiates it, because tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down and he was a martyr to the gospel, a martyr to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, my mother's death glorified God in an awesome way. So when he's talking about a death that glorifies God, he is not just talking about a death as a result of martyrdom. He's talking about any death of God's people has the potential to glorify God. It does not matter whether it's a death by beheading or a death from cancer or a death from natural causes, just going to sleep and dying, or a death in an accident. What in the world can we do to make sure that our death glorifies God? Well, you can wait until right up until the point where you think you're going to die and start praying like crazy that God gets the glory. But that begs the question, how do you know when you're going to die? I remember a little over a month ago, the first time I went back east, the family members, the staff of the nursing home were all convinced that my mother was going to die within a day or so. She lived for 30 more. Do you want to glorify God in your death? Do you want your death to count for something? Like Peter, most of us will not have chosen the manner nor the duration of our dying. That walk through the valley of the shadow of death is too often long and arduous. When we first entered that valley, it's like Jesus says to us, as he said to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." And our responsibility is to do just that, to follow him faithfully to the end, not waiting until the dying begins before attempting to follow him, but to follow him all of our days. That's the only way you can guarantee that you're going to have a death that glorifies God, is by having a life that glorifies God. And it has to start now. Do you know why? Because tomorrow never comes. Do you know why else? Because Scripture says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you begin to glorify God in your living. I want to make a radical statement. I'm coming to the realization that there is no grace for dying. There is no grace for dying. There's only grace for living. Dying is, for the Christian, a process of moving from one manner of living into another. We call that passage dying, but the reality is that dying is a form of living, one that we will only experience once. And God's desire is that we live this portion of our lives in a manner that will bring glory to him, just as Peter did. But beloved people, Peter didn't wait until they were coming to take him to crucify him. He began to follow Jesus in earnest when Jesus said, "Follow me." Peter says, "What about John?" Jesus said, "Never mind John. You follow me." Your thought might be, "What about so-and-so?" Or "What about?" Or "What if?" Never mind the what if, or the whatever. Our responsibility is to follow him. How do we follow him? By obeying him. Being obedient to his command. Do you know that the word obey means to hear under? To hear under. In other words, God is speaking, we're obeying, we're hearing, we're under his direction. That's why the Scripture can say, you don't have need of somebody to teach you where to go or how to walk, because you will have a voice that will say, go to the right or go to the left. This is the way, walk you in it. What is that voice? That's the voice of Jesus. That's the voice of his Spirit. How do we discern that? We hear it in our heart. But if we have not made the determination to follow him, we won't hear. Remember what it said about Peter? This he said to Peter, indicating what manner of death he would glorify God. And don't forget, when Peter was led to a place he did not want to go. The scripture says he was led to a place he didn't want to go. I don't know of anybody that wants to die. There are those individuals that take their life in their own hands. But it is because the circumstances have so overwhelmed them, they don't see any other way out. Truth be known, they don't want to die. They want to have more of a reason for living than dying. The Bible says Peter was to be led to a place that he did not want to go. And God gave him the grace to take those steps. Because he was obedient and continued to follow Jesus. If we are not living in obedience to the holy commandments of God, then we are not living by faith. If we are not living by faith, we are not utilizing grace, because grace and faith are partners in our salvation. You can't separate them. For by grace you have been saved through faith. They go hand in hand. See, beloved people, it takes grace to live by faith. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. If we are not in the habit of utilizing God's grace for living, in all probability we won't be able to experience it while dying. Why? Because it's not available? No. The reason is not because grace is unavailable. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 makes it clear that grace is available. The writer has written to us and says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may be able to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. The grace is there. Why wouldn't we be able to utilize it in our dying? For the simple fact that we are creatures of habit. The habit we have instilled while living will still be there while dying. If it's our habit to immerse ourselves in some form of escape when faced with a crisis situation, that is what we will turn to during our greatest crisis. If we are not in the habit of following Jesus in the daily rituals of life, is it likely that we will do so in death? As now, so then. In conclusion, in a few moments we're going to come to the Lord's table, hopefully with a greater understanding of our need for grace. And this table emphasizes not only our need, but His provision. Grace can be found today the same way that Noah found it so many years ago. Grace can be found today the same way that Paul and that Peter found it. Grace can be found today the same way so many have gone before us have found it. Grace is found by seeking God's faith. As the hymn writer Luther Bridgers wrote, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. In the words of the Apostle John from Revelation 22, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Will you come?